It's the beginning of a Bright Eyes record.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to witness the joining of these three men.
When you hear a lot of people talking at the same time, it kinda has a similar sound to a freaking beehive. Maybe that's a metaphor I'm trying to make work.
Men at work.
We write songs for a living, but I don't think this one works. He just rhymed work with work.
Yes, he did.
That lazy guy. Oh, just shut your mouth, sit back, relax, and listen to the hive.
Spiders, spiders, spiders.
That was
When you hear a lot of people talking at the same time, it kinda has a similar sound to a freaking beehive.
Maybe that's a metaphor I'm trying to make work. We write songs for a living, but I don't think this one works.
He just rhymed work with work.
Yes, he did, that piece of shit.
Oh my god.
So just shut your mouth, sit back, relax, and listen to the
Okay, here's the real intro.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
When you hear a lot of people talking at the same time, it kinda has a similar sound to a freaking beehive. Or maybe that's a metaphor I'm trying to make work. We write songs for a living, but I don't think this one works. He just rhymed work with work.
Yes, he did.
That lazy guy.
Oh, just shut your mouth, sit back, relax, and listen to the hive.
All right, bum, 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 bum.
Hey guys, what's up?
Oh, nothing, you know, just staring at black holes and stuff.
Oh man, so you sent that right before I went to bed last night.
Yes.
And I'm glad you did, because I set an alarm.
Did you watch the live footage?
I watched the whole thing.
I did too. I sat in my car and watched it.
Yeah.
How many words did they say that you didn't know?
Quite a few.
I'd say about 90% of it. Yeah. I was just waiting to see a picture.
Yeah. I was like,
they were like, arithmetic, showed the picture math, just for a little and bit. Colors and sound. I was like, uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like I felt smarter after it.
Yeah.
I felt more smart afterwards. Maybe that's the correct way.
You felt more intelligent.
You want to catch everyone up what we're exactly talking about?
Yeah. So the Event Horizon Telescope saw... Well, this actually goes all the way back to Albert Einstein.
Isn't that amazing?
Like 97, when did that movie come out?
Yeah. Yeah, Event Horizon. That's all. Every time they say it, it's like, what a great movie. Like the whole time. But yeah, we started a Albert Einstein one time said, I'm going to say this in complete layman's terms because that's the only way I know it.
No, that's I don't
That there had to be a black hole. Basically saying, there's got to be a spot. There's got to be something out there called a black hole or something like that. Yeah. And apparently I didn't know this was a thing. This tells you how unintelligent I am on this topic. I assumed we had seen a black hole. I assumed.
Yeah?
I didn't know that every...
It's just a ghost. It's okay.
Yeah, this place is haunted by everyone, so if you hear a door opening, it's the ghoul.
It's the Holy Ghost, I think.
Yeah, it's just a church, so the maybe holiest it's of a ghosts. Good ghoul.
I assumed we had seen a black hole. I just assumed it. And then when you sent that thing last night that said, oh, they're about to show a picture, maybe video, of first ever black hole caught on camera.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I thought we had done that, but okay.
Well, I thought it's cool that we're alive right now because it only happens like once every 77 years.
Yeah. No, it has only happened once so far.
Oh, man. So if you're Christian, once every 6,000 years.
Yeah. That's the New Earth Event Horizon Telescope you're looking through, right?
Yeah.
Wait, did they find out if the black hole is flat or not? Or what if the Earth, if it got swallowed by the black hole, then becomes flat?
I don't think they were worried about any of that.
Oh.
So when I immediately saw it, I know there have been a bunch of memes. I haven't looked at a whole lot of them. When I bring it up now, I see that people are making comparisons to the ISR on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which
totally.
Is pretty great. But I'm going to send this to you guys. I saved it because I thought this was pretty great. But it reminds me so much of the cover of Soundgarden's record.
Yeah.
Back Black in the Hole. Day. The one, The Unknown. Mm. Have you ever seen that cover?
Yeah, maybe I just sent it to you. CD selection, the CD bin.
And it's funny that the first picture of that looks like.
Oh, yeah, you're so right.
It looks like the cover of a Black Hole Sun, the album Super Unknown that had the song Black Hole Sun. I saw this, a friend of mine posted this, and I go, what? You're right.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
It had the hit song from Soundgarden, Black Hole Sun. So I just think that's neat.
That is pretty cool.
What? I wish I could ask questions for the dummies, because I feel like we're dummies when it comes to this. All those people, number one, I thought this was a pretty big event. Thought that the when they showed
the audience, it was pretty thin, huh? I was empty. Like, I would have gone. Like,
I would have totally
the amount
gone.
Of seats that were left. I was like, if this is on a college campus and there's some little kid who's gonna reshare a meme of this later, but he could have freaking gone and I would have.
So I was like, oh man. And then they even said this is pretty good turnout.
Isn't it crazy that there's a world of scientists with like the smartest leading our species into the future? And they have the first ever thing caught a picture ever, our first time to ever visually see this. And they're like, we're going to have this big presser tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be amazing. And then like 43 people show up and they're like, yeah, this is doing well.
Oh, this.
All right. This is a good turnout.
I think that's a success.
How many tickets did we have to sell again?
Third String put it on and they and every scientist had to sell.
Well, they're looking for venues
tickets.
Now.
We love you, Third String.
Thank you for letting us.
We love Third String.
Yeah, we do.
Third String is the reason why Dallas, I think, was able to hold on to the scene that it did for so long. They fed it.
Can I tell you about something that happened to me a couple days ago? And I'm not going to use any names because I don't want to upset anybody. Because actually, on the back end of this is a good story, but it starts off pretty bad. I don't know what it is about me now, but I sometimes like the idea that people, like if people are upset and they take it out on me, I look at it as like, oh, this is an opportunity to love them through something that for some reason they think they need to yell at me or yell at my type of person about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense? We, I don't know, how am I going to say this without, because if the person I'm talking about listens to this, I don't want that
pretend
person
it's
to
me.
Feel bad.
Pretend that I did this.
Eric booked me on a show.
Yeah, I remember.
Tough luck.
And wanted Ravenhill to play.
Several months ago.
Yeah. Several months ago, they booked me and asked me to play a certain date. And we, after deliberation, we said, yeah, we could do it. You know. And then found out that, oh, it's a two-day event, and the date they asked me to play is not the date we're playing. We're playing the day before, which I already had plans that day
to go
do something with my family, okay?
Yeah.
I saw that, and I was like, I'm going to have to contact them. Maybe we can get switched to the other day. So I sent a message via Facebook.
To Eric.
This was booked 2 months ago, maybe a month and a half ago. So it is a little bit, we play so many shows, that's going to sound cocky. We play enough shows to where sometimes I don't know the details of the show we're playing until the beginning of that month because I've agreed to something, but I should be more thorough.
Yeah, that's and why so I'm taking 2 months in advance.
I know. But in my defense, we weren't scheduled for this show, but maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry I changed the date on you, buddy.
Yeah. All that to say, I messaged him. And I go, hey, I have a family thing. I don't know if blah, 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 blah. And this guy comes back hot, hot, saying in so many words, are you freaking kidding me? This thing was booked a month and a half, 2 months ago. You said you could do it. We had an event and we sent you tickets to sell. You should have seen this. And plus one of your members was in a group text. I thought he was talking about me, but apparently it was Kalen. Yeah. Was in a group text already talking about that. And he just started ripping into me. It was like two paragraph thing. And I go, whoa, dude, if you want to call me, here's my number. We can chat. And I give him my number. He calls me. And I go, hey, Eric.
What's up, dude?
this is Josh Clifton from Ravenhill. I don't need you. I don't appreciate you like coming at me like that. I just want to have a conversation. He goes, no, you're going to shut the f*** up. Listen to me. And then start running.
That's how it started?
Yeah.
Eric.
And I go, dude, you gotta chill out. He goes, no, you're going to listen to me. You don't know what it's like to be a promoter. You don't know what it's like to put on concerts and festivals.
It's hard, man.
And I go, I'm going to let you talk until you're done. But when you're done, you got to listen to me. And he goes, okay. And so I'm not exaggerating. 5 to 7 minutes of him just cussing me out, telling me I don't know what I'm doing. It's bad band practice and bad business practice. And I don't know what it's like to be a promoter. I don't know what it's like this.
Dude, I represent Fandango. It's not easy.
I know. And just kind of going off and how he's like, bands keep taking advantage of promoters and this and that. So I say, he finishes. And I go, are you done? And he said, yes. And I go, first off, I just wanted to have a conversation, man. What I expected you to do is like, oh, that's a bummer, man. Can we make this work in any way? And then we'd start talking. I didn't even know what time we played yet. Okay. So I was just trying to get that. But I was saying I don't want to, and I'd prefer not to play the night the day of the festival. And I'd like to play the original day. And then he goes, oh, and I also say, also, we don't do pay to play show or sell ticket shows anymore. Like, I've done that twice and I don't do it. And he goes, we're not even on the same wavelength, man. That's the way it's done here in Dallas. And I go, hey, you have to shut up. It's my turn. I actually said, you need to shut the F up. I was like real upset. I was
dude, like, what an interesting convo.
I go, you have to shut the F up now. It's my turn to talk. I took everything you said.
Dude.
It's my turn. And I go, what I need to know right now is there a man on the other side of this phone call?
Oh, God. Did you cream a little when you said it?
No. I was just mad.
You know? Man. It probably felt good, though. There were some endorphins in there that were like, yeah.
Because what I don't appreciate is that...
Is it irrational hollering?
Huh?
Irrational yelling? Like that?
Well, maybe. But I go, what I don't tolerate is the fact that a minute after I sent this message and you ranted to me on, messaged me and ranted, I clicked on your name and your profile on your Facebook to see who I'm talking to. And when I looked there a minute ago after you sent your thing, you posted a thing that said, some bands make me want to stop promoting shows. Be responsible. I don't like that in the process of you and I trying to have a civilized conversation about a show that you run like a little baby to social media to get the acceptance or the understanding or the sympathy for all your hard work while we're in the process of talking to me, like I'm not going to see this. I assumed you were hoping I wouldn't see you. He's like, that's not even about you. I was like, dude, come on. That's BS. It's a minute after you sent the message to me. All right. He goes, well, you guys are just the ones that that set me over the edge. I'm just stressed out, blah, 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 and all this stuff. People do this all the time. I was like, listen. He goes, you don't know what it's like to be a promoter. I was like, dude, you have to shut up. It's my turn. You have to shut up. I go, I need to know there's a man on the other side because I do know what you're going through, but I need to talk to someone that's not going to be irrational. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to someone that's going to try to see eye to eye with me, try to find a common ground, and try to find a way to fix this without acting like a child. And I go, I've booked concerts for 3 venues, 4 venues across the Midwest. I've put on festivals. I work at several festivals. I've promoted hundreds and hundreds of shows. I know exactly what you're going through because I've been to, I go, Ravenhill is not, if Ravenhill doesn't show up, it's not going to, the whole, we're not the freaking Foo Fighters or even, name a big band from Southern, or from Dallas, Sleeper or Rival Sons, aren't they from here or something like that?
I don't think they're a
band Rival anymore. Choir or whatever. Whatever the big band is, like if yeah. they got that, got they got
Forever
got
the
that.
Sickest Kids.
Yeah. Are they from Dallas?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sad.
Dude, they put Jeff Rockwell's career on the map.
I don't even know who that is, but
if I remember correctly, he recorded their whole album for like 10 G's.
Yeah.
And then when they signed Atlantic, they bought every song from him, the masters, for 10 G's.
Oh, nice.
So that's like exponential return on that.
Yeah. But all that to say,
I could be totally wrong, by the way.
It's not Ravenhill. Ravenhill isn't that. They didn't. If we don't show up, everyone, you're not getting people going, I want my money back. You know, people aren't saying that. So then I go, and we don't sell tickets anymore. We're not on the same wavelength. That's how it's done in Dallas. And I go, not anymore. And I go, we're going to change that. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Even if I have to show up, because we had a family thing, even if I have to show up with an acoustic guitar and do this, I'll do it by myself. I'm not expecting money, but don't expect me to pay sell tickets. I'm not selling any tickets. But I'll do it if you'll have me back. He goes, you're not even on the festival anymore. And I was like, I need you to calm down. And I go, I want to look back in a couple years, because all I hear is a guy that loves art and loves music and is picking a fight with someone that's a lot like him, that loves art and loves music, man. And I need you to see eye to eye that sometimes things that have been the way you've been doing it for a long time, the way you've been talking to people, it's not just because you've been doing it for a long time doesn't mean it's the right way to do it. And we need to work together. I was like, so if you'll have me on the festival, I will cancel or work around my family's plans to make this happen. But more importantly, I hope years from now, we're sitting at my house or your house or at a bar or we're hanging out and I go, hey man, you remember when the first time you called me, you would come in hot, but who knew we'd be really good friends now? Look what we did in the Dallas scene. We did something great. And he goes, yeah, man, I think I could learn a lot from you.
I think that was so confusing for him, but probably awesome.
And I just couldn't believe, listen, I know me telling this story is me boasting in myself a little bit, and I feel a little bad about that, but it was such a crazy thing, and it made me think about Eric's idea about these Honey Gold Presents shows that Kalen took the...
spearheaded.
Yeah, he spearheaded, and Eric saw the value in that and goes, we need to do this, and we need to do it to where we need to change the atmosphere of scenes, music scenes that put a lot of pressure. If you want to be on a good show, you have to sell a bunch of tickets. And I'm not saying those are all wrong, but I don't like it when those are the only good shows you can get on. That can't be the only way. It can be a way.
But yeah, there's nothing wrong with a local scene having shows and having a scene and there being a promoter who brings in a big act every once in a while that you got a pre-sale for.
Right.
But if every two shows is one that you got a pre-sale for, it's
stressful when you start burning a lot of bridges.
It kills the vibe for everyone too.
You and I have played tons of shows where like we were the top bill that we still had to sell a lot of tickets for, and it's like, we were the top bill?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Where we were supposed to be the main.
But you had to sell tickets for?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's bonkers.
Yeah, no, I love the idea of the Honey Gold stuff. I love that you didn't burn a bridge there, although it was probably hard. It probably felt like it was on fire and you were like putting new wood down. And then.
I brought this up to Megan later on and I go, it's kind of funny. Josh 20 years ago would have been like, oh God, and scared and tucked his tail and been like, oh, please, please don't. I don't want to burn this bridge. I'll do whatever it takes. 10 years ago, I would have been like, screw this dude. Like, I don't need this. And that I would have hung up on him the moment he started cussing me out.
Yeah.
And now I go,
three children later.
Yeah, three children.
Like, bro, I got patience for days.
Yeah. Go ahead and get, I realize pretty early on, he doesn't know me. And that's the thing. He's bundling me up with all the frustrations that I'm well aware of.
Well, it's a perfect example of life being social interactions being through the internet and the phone, where you don't build empathy. Yeah. You don't see someone's eyes. You don't see their heart. You don't think about them as an individual. You just think mm-hmm. of them as the person on the other side. The, what is that word I'm looking for? The antagonist or whatever, right. You know?
Yeah, it was great. It's great now. He actually, later on, he reached, not only reached out to me again, but he reached out to the band and said, like, hey, thanks for being so upfront and understanding. And whether you guys decide to play or not, we would love to work with you in the future. And we will be playing.
Yeah, I just appreciate how open you were with me.
Yeah, and that's literally what it said.
I'm really sorry that I blew up on you. It was unprofessional. But, you know, life gets the better of me sometimes. And
you know
what?
Thank
you for taking the time to be patient with me and walk me through it and give me your perspective. When we hear a lot of people singing at the...
No, I want to do it. Like, we got resolution. We got resolution. I got nothing.
Praise the Lord.
We learn how to love. We got nothing. I was
got nothing.
I was trying to force something there, but but yeah, that was an interaction that literally happened to me yesterday, or a day before yesterday, wow. Or something like that. And it was like one of those things where I was just like, advice to those that are in bands, and the advice to those that are promoters. Like, most people aren't, especially artists and creatives and those that care about the music, most of them aren't trying to be, for lack of a better term, assholes. No. Try to figure out what they're doing. And at the end of the day, I mean, I had never worked with this company before. And so it was one of those things where this guy didn't know me. Now, he had seen our band and he loved our band, but he's never met us. And so... I can't believe how quick he was willing to burn that bridge.
Yeah.
Over something that, like, if he had just gotten to know me, he would have realized. I was like, dude, even if we don't play, I hope you find a replacement, and I will pay to sponsor the event, even though we're not playing. Just to make it up to you. Because it was ultimately my fault for not being able to... kind of double booking. And it was just, it's, I'm glad I'm on this side of it now, but man, in the middle of that, it was, there was some patience being tested there.
Totally.
For sure.
Dude,
congrats though, man.
I find the back end of almost every difficult conversation is like the rest you were looking for the whole time.
Totally. I have something I want to bring up because of you, Eric.
Cool.
Someone brought up the fact here, I took a picture of it.
The AT&T is throttling Apple Music.
Is it?
Oh, no, I thought that's what you're about to show.
Oh,
I go, what? Apple Music's been working like Duke again.
Really?
Yeah, like I went to lunch with Lily. 15-minute drive to the place and 15-minute drive back. She was trying to play one song the entire drive there.
What song was it?
Just a song from the neighborhood. And then playing the song about halfway on the way back. And then I pulled up Spotify and it pulled up instantly.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
No, that it's time for Eric's video game corner. You got something for that?
Yeah. What is it?
Oh, dude. Oh,
Eric's corner. Video games.
I'm a nerd. A nerd.
Let's hear it, Eric.
Eric, you brought up this band, this video game Sekiro.
Sekiro, yeah.
I almost bought it last night.
It's great.
Because of you saying that I would love it.
It's an amazing game.
And then this morning I woke up to people talking crap about how someone beat the final boss with a cheat code.
What?
And it was streaming, or it was trending on Twitter. Oh, and nice. I was like, we all grew up with cheats on Nintendo games and Sega and stuff like that. We all did the code up, down, down, left, right, BA start, right?
Yeah, it's all fun.
There was even like where you, in Mario 3, you could push down on the white block and you go behind the scenes and get another whistle and whistle all the way to the end and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If you beat the game that way, did you beat the game?
I think it depends on the conditions. So reason being, like speedrunning, that's fun for me to watch. Like people that beat Dark Souls in two or 3 hours. There's different tiers.
Nerd.
So like there's 100%ing a game, which means you do everything. You get every item, you talk to every NPC, you do every side quest you can. And then there's a 0% completion speedrun, which means you just get to the end and you win.
Right.
Like Mario 64, you could beat the game having only earned like 5 stars.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, but you have to do a lot of glitches, like stand in a corner and just repeatedly jump.
Right, I saw that.
The
all the way up to the top.
You blast through a door.
Sega Europe chimed in and said, "You cheated not only the game, but yourself."
Wait, hold on a second.
They're being serious. "You cheated not only the game, but yourself. You didn't grow. You didn't improve. You took a shortcut and gained nothing. You experienced a hollow victory. Nothing was risked and nothing was gained. It's sad that you don't know the difference."
Hold on, hold on. Start over.
Ready? Here we go. "You cheated not only the game, but yourself. You didn't grow. You didn't improve. You took a shortcut and gained nothing. You experienced a hollow victory. Nothing was risked and nothing was gained. It's sad that you don't know the difference. # Sega Europe."
Yeah, I'm almost through my second playthrough.
You really?
Oh, this game called Queef or whatever?
No, Sekiro.
That's what I thought it was.
I thought that was interesting that popped up and you had brought that up in a previous episode.
I don't. Yeah. I think your phone's listening to you.
It probably is.
I'm just kidding.
It's blisteringly difficult, man. There's a couple bosses.
Did you say blistering difficult?
Blisteringly difficult.
Nice.
There's a couple bosses that literally took me. I had to stop. I was like, okay, I'm playing like crap now because I'm tired and I'm just too frustrated.
I need to come up this with fresh eyes.
No,
fresh
really. I'm like, I'm too frustrated.
Cheeto
right
dust and everything is that's what I wanted. That's what I wanted more in that Sega Europe thing. These are real things. If you cheated in life, like you could say everything.
Yeah, that thing's super applicable to like real life.
Yeah, but a video game, it's kind of funny. Like,
yeah, I mean, unless you want to say that it's you're practicing shortcuts.
Well, well,
unhealthy
so
shortcuts.
Even like a lot of people take gaming like it's a sport because honestly, it requires acute hand-eye coordination, reaction, like being very reactionary.
I'm trying real hard not to laugh.
I know, but like, right, I almost take it halfway serious.
Yeah. What?
There's
what
a reason
what
why some people
pads do y'all wear for protection?
I don't know if they wear hats, but some definitely wear glasses.
Yeah, they do.
Eye protection. That's smart.
Yeah well, from the blue lights.
Yeah. Oh my!
I guess y'all aren't worried about
our phone are actually degrading our eyes.
I hear the life expectancy of most gamers, professional gamers, is about the same as most NFL players.
Yeah,
yeah.
Except they respawn.
People. Yeah.
Except they respawn. Well, even then, like I don't think it's that long.
Tell the truth.
But a lot of people take it like way more seriously than I think they should. Like I'm totally playing the game because I enjoy it, and like the last boss took me 2 days to beat. And I was like, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. And then as I was nearing the end of it, I'm like, oh, crap, am I about to do it? I can't heal. Holy crap. Oh, my. Click, 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 click. And I was like, I did it. Like, and I felt really, really good.
I remember my wedding night also.
Yeah, me too. It was sweet.
Me too.
I just thought that was interesting.
I had McDonald's my wedding night.
I had Emo's Pizza from St. Louis.
Oh, nice.
What'd you call it?
emos. That's cute.
And I'm sorry.
Sorry. It's weird when you're married and you know the spouse when you want to make dirty jokes.
I know. That's why I felt like immediately like nasty.
Apologizing.
No, I felt like, you know, like in cartoons where like a dark cloud's just over your head and it's raining on you?
Yes.
It's that, but it says shame.
When did you feel that?
Yeah.
When?
Just now.
Oh, when you were talking about
our wives.
Yeah, the pizza.
Yes. Yeah. But I think you should try the game out. It's a lot of fun. It's really hard.
When it goes on sale,
yeah, that's I'll a good buy time.
It. Yeah, I'm not in any hurry. I usually get games when they're on sale.
Yeah, so that's how you got Fallout 76 so quick, because it immediately went on sale.
Yeah. That one I bought when it came out, and it was a bummer. I haven't played it since we talked about it a couple of months ago. I will say I went to Nashville this weekend. It seems like every other episode I say I was in Nashville last weekend. But Brady and I went to go, and Ross and Ray from A Red Arrow went to see the Raconteurs play the Third Man Records 10th anniversary. And it was like the first show for the Raconteurs in like 9 or 10 years.
I bet that was awesome.
Yeah, I'd never seen him. Yes, Jack White's my favorite version of Jack White.
Like the good stuff he does?
Yeah. And then it's no surprise because it sounds very much like Ravenhill.
Yeah. Very rock and roll.
Yeah, with like soul and blues and all that stuff. And I've heard from friends and people that had seen different versions of Jack White's solo stuff that when seeing him live, it's kind of hit or miss type situation because he has a new band every record and every tour. So it's hard to kind of blend and get tour tight and start all over, you know? Mm-hmm. So I didn't know what to think about what I was about to see.
Now, does the Raconteurs, they have a pretty consistent membership.
Yeah, yeah. It's the same membership, but they haven't played in 9 years. And this is the first show they played in that. And now they just announced a tour. So if you're able to go to that, I would suggest it. I will tell you, it was a sloppy show.
Yeah.
And a lot of things went wrong, and I loved every bit of it.
Nice.
That's great.
Like...
Was this in that venue that's connected to Third Man?
It was outside using... So Third Man is across the street from a homeless shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And they use the homeless shelter's parking lot.
So they kicked all the homeless people out.
None of the homeless people have cars.
I think I parked in that homeless shelter once to go to Third Man.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. And and then they had like shows on the inside also. But there were probably a couple thousand people there. And
wow.
It was pretty rad. Really good bands. You should look up the Dirt Bombs. You would love the Dirt Bombs.
The Dirt Bombs.
That band is a band from Detroit that Ben Blackwell, he announced, actually Jack White was handing out pins for years of service. And he has two guys that have been with him for 10 years. So they'd never, Ben Blackwell and Ben, I can't think of his name right now. Swank. Both of them were with him from the beginning. He handed them their 10-year pin, and he said, now they are officially co-owners. So, like, the three of them now run Third Man Records, which is so cool. I thought the way he was setting it up, I thought he was going to say, and now they're going to go off and do their own thing. But now he gave them part ownership. So
did the Chariot of Fire come down and take them up as that happened?
Yes. Yes, actually, awesome. It's weird. I will say it was kind of interesting to see Jack White walk amongst the... He didn't try to go around and everything. He walked right through the crowd going from one side to the other, and people would stop him on the way. He had people with him, like escorting him, but it was really neat to see that. He very much knows how to make people there feel like they're a part of something special.
That's cool.
But the first or second song, Jack White's guitar just quit working completely. You got a guy up there trying to do that. You could see them switching up. You could see so many times where I feel like the rest of the guys in the band are sitting there like, all right, Jack, what am I going to do? What are we doing now? You know, types. There was a time that Brandon Benson, who also sings in the Raconteurs, looked over him. He started singing, then they go, oh, wait, Jack still wants to do this. So he would stop singing and let him do it. And he'd go, it's just funny.
Yeah,
it's funny to see their dynamic.
Was it like he forget the riff and he's like, oh, my guitar doesn't work. Sorry, everyone, the song's going to keep going.
No. I'll tell you what, I was pretty amazed about how
in the moment he was able to get. If Ravenhill gives off any of that, I love it. Throughout, like, because we've played shows where things have gone wrong. We never played shows that much went wrong, but also we're not playing, I guess, that big of a show with that many obstacles.
Yeah, I caught that vibe at the last Honey Gold Presents show.
Really?
Yeah.
That we what?
That you were like trying to be on the spot.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah. There was one thing in particular that didn't land as well as I wanted it to.
I saw that.
But I was like, oh, okay. Well. He just, and a lot of us, we just couldn't hear ourselves because it's outside. But I love that. I love experimenting. And I had never seen Raconteurs Live, never seen that. It was the first time I go, oh, yeah, that's what we're trying to do. Like, that's the embodiment of the spirit of what we'd always wanted to do without ever had seen it before. So
it's cool, right?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
I think I had a similar feeling when I saw the sound of animals fighting. That's why it was so
cool.
Powerful for me. It's not that I wanted to recreate that sound. I just, the way it made me feel as a fan and the overall experience, I was like, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want to do.
You know, because I think for that to exist in Dallas, that's a culture that needs to be nurtured and created. I think we should seriously consider building up a Honey Gold Street team.
Yeah. I agree 100%. If you are listening to this and you want to be a part of the Honey Gold Street team, message us on.
What are the incentives? You can get merch for free. Honey Gold
I'll
artists.
I'll give you a whole bunch of merch for free. I just ordered a whole bunch of Ravenhill merch, and then we're about to order some Honey Gold merch. So
yeah, I'll be your photos as profile pictures.
There you go.
that's really crappy to say.
We'll figure out a way to. You will not be doing it for nothing. I promise.
Plus ones at shows.
Yeah. The free shows we put on. But even shows that we play in the area, if we get a guest list, I will put on that guest list.
We'll get you in for free. It's outside.
Yeah,
you're in for free.
Yeah, we got the world in.
It's a free show.
I
got you covered. Don't worry about it.
I mean, if a show is outside, do you have 7.2 billion people at your show? As long as they're not inside?
I don't know. Where's the cutoff? Where's the cutoff?
If they're inside.
Okay. If they're inside, they don't count.
Right.
Okay.
Dude, we need to try and play at the square because you could get the square.
Dintun?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen shows at the square.
Dintron?
I
want to get a gazebo at Town Lake McKinney and just throw an old school. I mean, that's how I grew up doing punk shows. It's $25 or it used to be. Who knows now?
With inflation.
Now it's like
with inflation and the economy.
Maybe if we tell everyone about Spotify, they'll give us a break. No, but I will say a couple of funny things happened in Nashville. There was one time that I'm always interested in the type of people that show up to shows that I really enjoy because it's where you see people that you are connected to, but sometimes you're like, how are the two of us both into this thing? You know what I mean? There was, but at the same time, you see a lot of people. I will say I just got there. I looked out across the crowd. I was up at a high point and I go, oh, there are a lot of Jack White lookalikes here.
Oh, people wearing like fedoras and having bad mustaches.
Different stages. So you're thinking of a different stage of Jack White than he is right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're thinking of a, Get Behind Me, Satan or, type era where he looks a little bit like Johnny Depp.
He looked like Johnny Depp, but like homeless and didn't know where to draw the line with a mustache.
Yeah, he doesn't have a mustache anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he hasn't had for some time. So it's just funny. You could look around and go, oh, that's Jack White during that era. That's Jack White during that era. I mean, there were, once again, there are a couple thousand people there. I mean, maybe upwards of 3,000. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It was outdoors. So what was 7. What billion?
7.2 billion.
Counting it.
Yeah. I call that a success. So all that to say, it's just interesting to see the type of people that show up to this, and you see the different varies of obsession with certain artists. So,
did you have the thought I did at the Sound of Animals Fighting show, where I was looking around at all the people, and I was like, look at all these possible fans of Wards.
I thought, okay, so. I'm going to give you a little bit. I don't think anyone's too
if they've listened to an episode of The Hive and me talk about my band or my abilities, I do come across probably a little bit prideful. But usually at shows, I go, I think that regardless, because I think Ravenhill has a broad appeal. And this is one of the first shows where I was at that I go, oh, I don't know if I would stand out as much as I would want to. Like, there was enough good stuff there for me to go like, oh, I would just be, hopefully, a good band amongst a lot of other really good bands. That was because every artist after every artist I was amazed by. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, I'd never heard of any of them except for Lily May and the Raconteurs. So, mm-hmm. But yes, I thought if I could get up there, if I could have had that opening slot, we would have a contract with Third Man right now. That's nice. There was a part of me. It was like, I would have that and we would have all these fans.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Dude, I find, especially like with some of the friends I've made in the past year, so much of making it in the music business is just honestly that one lucky shot you would have had to have opened for someone or been here or been in the same room as this to be the other person receiving a conversation.
What's amazing about that though is also there's so many times that that's not the case too. Right. Although I think you're mostly right, Eric. But like the amount of times that I've stressed and been nervous, like we got to get on the show or we got to make this thing happen. This is going to be the thing. And then it was just another thing. Well, when it was by 2 months later, it was just another thing that I've personally experienced, which is why I think that if you really, I think one, it shouldn't be about trying to make it. That shouldn't be where you find your joy. It can be a fun accomplishment to seek. Yeah. But I think your joy needs to be in just the making of art.
The connecting and making of the
art. But I feel like the people with the most success play the game, but that's not where they get their joy. And then they just don't stop. And so it's dozens and dozens and dozens of those opportunities you were talking about where finally one of them hits.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I know like bands like Pierce the Veil, like they were a touring band for like 10 years before anyone cared about them.
Well, I did. Was that when they were before Today?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were awesome then.
Yeah, yeah. So you were one of the...
Wait, Pierce the Veil?
Used to be a much better band called Before Today.
Before Today?
Didn't know that. Yeah. They had a song called Pierce the Veil, actually.
Interesting.
It's a good song.
And then, I have one friend, Johnny, you know her too. She's Australian.
I've heard of her.
She sent me a screenshot where, because of the friends she's made in Nashville and playing with, mm-hmm. Someone's like, oh, hey, the dude from All Sons and Daughters wants to write a song with you.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
David Leonard? Yeah. No, there's a new dude.
Yeah, whoever it is. I don't know.
David Leonard's a friend of mine, but he's no longer with All Sons and Daughters. He went solo.
It might be him, but he's in Nashville.
David Leonard's a friend of mine.
David Leonard.
David Leonard's a friend of mine.
David Leonard.
David Leonard.
David Leonard's a friend of mine.
All right, he has a new record on iTunes.
They do something like that, right?
Yeah.
Dude, that song was so like The Specials. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A message to you, Rudy. I'm going to be 100%. I don't remember what we were talking about already.
But regardless, like, it's cool to see how opportunities can block.
Yes, the guy, David Leonard.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Is she going to write with him?
Yeah, her next time.
I've got a question.
Yep.
I've never, in the 15 years of doing this, that I've never had a formal, like, we should write together, sit down and write a song with someone.
Yeah, I want to do that with you.
I want to do that so bad.
Yeah, I've asked you a lot.
I don't know. When can we, if we live, literally, we couldn't live farther away from each other.
I told you, let me know a time and I will show up at your house. I've literally said
that. I'll find that with the word stuff.
I'll find a time. I know it's, you guys are just waiting on me.
It's, there's, you realize what we're seeing here though? You go, I've never had a four. I was like, oh, multiple.
Okay. So before my life got busy, I never did it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember.
I woke up at 5:30 this morning and my day is planned out until I go to bed tonight.
That's
how life's been. So just trying to find extra time.
Oh man. Such a funny conversation to have with Johnny. So, I'm about to rent a house.
Yep.
So we have the one. And I was asking Johnny. Huh? Wiley.
Go look for him, kids.
I was asking Johnny like some advice, like, hey, you know, is this a good thing? Is this not? Cause I know you and Haley had just gone through this for the past like 5 to 10 years, you know, or whatever. And I was asking about studio stuff and how I can make it work in this room And he was like, he gave me some really just down to earth good advice. He's like, well, dude, you know, everywhere I've moved, I just set it up where I can and just do what I can. And I'm like, that's such a good philosophy versus like, because
you adapt. That's adaptation, right?
Yeah. Well, I get worked up in the technical and do I need to get this? Do I need to put this here?
Don't sweat it, man.
Yeah. And so I was having a lot of those anxieties, and Johnny was like, oh, dude, just set it up where you can and just make the art you want.
You're
was,
more adaptable than you give yourself credit for.
Oh, no, I think I'm very adaptable. I just look at through the lens of the technical things I need to do. That's how I view adapting.
You'll figure it out.
In one of those areas. And so I'll figure it out. I know that. And then Johnny's like, yeah, man, you can invest in this, that. If you have a kid, you just don't do any of it.
Yeah, I was like, or if you want to not do any of these fun things you're thinking about, have a kid.
And then I lost it.
That's so funny. That'll change for you, Johnny, too.
It's slowly getting there. He's slowly going to bed earlier and slowly.
I was like, I get to do a lot of things, and I have three of them.
Yeah, but they can like at least like put on clothes themselves now, right?
I'm just saying, like, your mindset.
Do they poop while standing up?
I don't know, but I'd like to see if they still can. I'd like to see if I can.
You can.
Like, what?
It's all in how you angle your legs.
Mm-hmm. Because it's all about what muscles are flexing.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, Jack White was good.
I bet.
There's a YouTuber that Kalen loves called Fluff.
Yeah.
He's a dude, and I guess in his mid-40s. He looks like he's in his mid-20s. And he does a lot of production, reviews on gear and stuff like that.
Sounds like a lot of fluff to me.
That's the point, right? I love this keyboard.
Thing. That needs to be a thing from now on.
But the guy,
we'll get better with it as the episodes go.
Someone wrote in and was like, "Hey, I just had a kid and I'm finding it hard to do anything musical. Like, you have kids, what do you say?" And he was like, "Oh man,
get a nanny."
When I first had a kid, I didn't touch my guitar for 3 years. He's like, I had one guitar. It was before.
It was four when he touched his wife again. You know what I'm saying?
Right? And then. And then the guy's advice was, he's like, dude, I would literally restring and keep up my Squire guitar I had in the corner because I wanted to play it, and I would think I'd have a chance, and I just never did for 3 years. And he's like, you know what I did in that 3 years? I was a dad, and I was a good dad. You know, he's like, and that's what I wanted to do for those 3 years. And I was able to build up this life where I'm sponsored by stuff afterwards. But, you know, when you're a father, you need to be a father.
And I was like, I would argue a little bit to say that just because you find a way to do those other things doesn't make you a bad dad.
I know. Well, I just
he's probably the type of personality that has to focus on one thing at a time.
Yeah. And I can imagine that because I know people like that. Yeah.
That's me.
I've never been like that. Yeah. I've never been like, and
I think about 20 things at one time, but I can only finish one thing at a time.
Megan, I ask Megan regularly, I'm like, hey, am I still a good husband? Am I still a good dad? I need you to be that barometer for me, because
are you crying or having a serious panic attack when this happens? Because that's when it usually happens for me.
No, I ask.
Lucky.
Johnny, have you tried acai in your lotion?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, no. Maybe cutting out sugar.
I'm gonna start
lavender.
I'm gonna put some lavender behind my ears.
Have you tried amber stones, arranging them on your mantle?
I'm going the crystal direction, actually.
Okay, that's good. That's smart. That's
how much time do we got?
Okay, 12 minutes.
12 minutes. I got a couple things that I wanted to bring up. These are just thoughts that I had throughout in the last couple weeks. This hashtag, I still don't know why it was trending, but people were going nuts about this. The hashtag was trending yacht cocaine prostitutes on Twitter, and people were losing their minds about it. Like, I still don't know. I tried to find why this thing was trending, and I couldn't get past all the jokes of why it was trending. Like, everyone was like, and they said they had something to do with government. Did you see anything about this?
What's the hashtag again?
Yacht cocaine prostitutes.
I don't think so.
That's interesting. I assumed that you would have had the answer, because normally whenever I see something, you have the you go, oh, I saw this too.
According to my phone, my screen time has been down, so maybe I just
missed it. Same here. That's good, right?
Yeah. I'm doing this thing as of like 2 days ago where whatever environment I'm in, I'm trying to just be in that instead of stressing and worrying about all the other things to come. It's just like, you're here, do this 100%, and then move on to the next one.
I don't like that whenever I get my screen report, it still counts like whenever I drive a lot, it still counts when I'm using an
like a navigation app or this or that. I always do the math and realize, oh, okay, I'm down. I haven't been on social media that much. Yacht cocaine prostitutes. I'm actually going to see if I can get to the bottom of this. I need you to fill the time with some music, though.
Pop culture, shouldn't care, but you do.
Perfect.
There you go.
Well.
Bought you 15 seconds. I wasn't even 15 seconds. No. Eric, time me. How long is this? Pop culture, you shouldn't care, but you do.
Yeah.
How long was that? Is that a good jingle duration?
Solid 3.5 seconds. Maybe 4.
Nice. You know what the word deduce means?
Deduce. To calculate and plan upon.
Work down?
Yeah, so I've been watching Bubble Guppies with my kid, and there was an episode where a character said deduce, and I just kind of was able to infer what it meant with the scenario in the sentence, but it came in handy, because when I was watching that live footage, that live feed of the event Time Horizon or whatever,
yeah,
telescope, the black hole this morning,
yeah,
they used the word deduce a couple times, and I was like, I know what that means. I got the gist of what you're saying.
Yacht cocaine prostitutes is trending because of David Nunes.
Nunes? I don't know. I didn't look at it.
Nunes is suing the McClatchy Company, which owns 29 newspapers, for its reporting on alleged drug and sex-filled parties on a boat owned by the Napa Valley-based winery. Republican David Nunes, or Nunes, whatever. So it's a Republican that had these parties. He's not happy about it. But allegedly, what a good hashtag.
Yeah.
What a random good hashtag to start a whole bunch of things. Kentucky finally outlawed bestiality.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
You know, they were holding
2019,
out. As of last year, Hawaii, New Mexico, West Virginia, Wyoming are the only states remaining that hadn't outlawed it yet.
What, name those states again?
Hawaii, New Mexico, West Virginia, Wyoming.
Surprised Arkansas is not on that list.
No. Oh, well, they do love their Razorbacks.
Yeah.
Okay. We just upset someone.
Two people. Sorry, you two.
let's see. Just some other things. You ever heard of the Space Burger?
No.
You didn't hear about the Space Burger?
No.
A guy put a Big Mac or a quarter pounder, double quarter pounder, sent it up. Maybe a Whopper. I don't know. Is there a better burger to send in space than...
Probably a Big Mac.
But would be the best burger to send to space, you think?
One that can take pictures and tell us what it learned?
Yeah. But
it went up into space. Yet. He had a camera on it, and then it came back down.
He attached engine. A GoPro or something to a hamburger?
It just literally showed a hamburger going through the atmosphere and everything. It got high enough and it came down. He came down and he took a bite of it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely was in pieces, but he took a bite of it.
Yeah.
That's just what's out there, man. Trump has ADHD.
What?
Shocker.
That's official.
So now everyone's got to be sympathetic towards him.
I guess.
Give him a hard pass on everything he does.
we really need to take a look at this mental illness problem in America.
I have some stuff here that's so old that I don't know why I put it. So what I'm about to say is I don't know why I wrote this. You know, you ever write things that you go like, what was I thinking about when I wrote this? This is old enough for me to go, I don't know why I wrote this, but, I think this is me talking about like why I think white guys are too confident in life.
Okay.
In the 80s, we were really addicted to toxic, mediocre white dick, huh? And I was like, because white guys are way too confident now. I think that's about the right timeline.
80s?
Yeah, the 80s.
A lot of cocaine in the 80s.
Yeah.
You've been holding on to that for 20 years?
Yeah,
does as someone who's never done cocaine, does anyone know if it boosts confidence? I assume it would.
I would assume. I mean, I haven't either. Eric has though. Tell us, Eric.
It's good.
It's supposed to be similar to Adderall, right? I've done Adderall.
Maybe.
That kind of boosts your
last thing.
Motivation and
cocaine's not good for you.
This is pretty well known in my friends, but like whenever my youngest son Houston was born, he was born in Franklin, Tennessee, almost 6 years ago now. And he was unnamed for about 30, 45 minutes. We didn't know what to name him because I thought I had the name and I kind of landed on a name. I said it and Megan goes, oh no, we're not naming him that. And I go, oh, what are we going to name him then? And it was like, we had 9 months to figure this out, you know? Do you guys know what I wanted to name him?
No.
Frankenstein.
No, I wanted to name him Tennessee Sweetwater Clifton. I thought that name was so cool. Tennessee Sweetwater Clifton. And she goes, oh, if we didn't live in Tennessee. Yeah. And what do you guys think of that name?
Tennessee would be hard to spell for me as a child, especially because you write so big and you do it in print. So like the small area they give you to write your name, I definitely would go off the edge. Uh-huh. And then immediately is you're going to want to shorten that name when you want to yell quicker. So 10 feels maybe a little bit weird to say 10, especially if you ended up with like 10 kids later.
Uh-huh.
It just sounded like you named them numbers.
What do you think, Eric?
Not a fan.
But Tennessee does sound cool.
Yeah, interesting. You're the first guy I've ever met that didn't like it.
I have a really basic enjoyment of names. Like I love the name David.
Yeah,
I think David. That's a great name.
That's Judah's middle. One of Judah's middle names.
One of them.
Yeah, all my kids have two middle names.
Are they middle still?
Yeah.
Well, technically the middle two.
Middle two.
Yeah, I guess so.
Judah Liam David Clifton.
See, if it was Tennessee, though, it'd be like the middle last third of the fourth. Tennessee for so long.
Well. I wanted a name on that because I thought that was really cool and thought he will probably be the greatest like poet or I was thinking Tennessee Williams.
Yeah, yeah.
If
he followed in your footsteps to the T, the name would be epic.
Yeah.
If he was like an accountant that worked down the street from Dillard's, like it'd be like hey, my name's Tennessee. It's like, oh, is anyone else here?
You know, like, no, I disagree. I think he would find everyone gets nicknames.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there'd be a ton of nicknames, especially Sweetwater. Like Sweetwater, I love that.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have been all for Sweetwater.
I thought about if it was Tennessee Sweetwater something Clifton, like throw another name in there, a normal name, like Robert.
any random
regular. Just so he had like a normal name to fall back on. Because mine's my oldest is London Emmanuel Jairus Clifton. So he can go by Manny. He can go by, I sometimes call him Lo. He can go by Don, you know?
I think London's a cool name.
Yeah.
What's the other, all the names? Like, tell me every name.
All right. London Emmanuel Jairus Clifton.
Jairus?
And Jairus. And Jairus is after my dad. My dad's middle name. Right. Then Judah Liam David Clifton. My dad's first name was William. So Liam, the second half of it. And then Houston Jericho Moses Clifton. So they all have unique names. They all have something they can fall back on and everything. But I wanted to know your thoughts on that. I'd never brought that up on here.
Yeah.
And I thought, Megan still gets mad at me for jokingly saying, I should have been Tennessee Sweetwater. She goes, we can change his name. We can change it. It might be the biggest contention in our relationship.
That's awesome.
Is the fact that
that's like the most first world like relationship problem.
Oh, I'm going to tell you right now, like Megan and I have hit a second phase in our relationship that everything's just great. And communication's never been better. And some good times being had. And we don't have any kids on the way.
Yeah.
So we're starting to figure out who we are after kids. And even though we still have them, we're trying to make them. We didn't send them off. I mean,
I haven't seen kids in a while, Josh. I don't know.
But your kid's name is a normal name.
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever consider a weird name like that? That's what I wanted to bring up. Like,
yeah, I guess. But if I liked it.
Do you think? Who names your kids? Is it both of you?
Well, guys? I have one, and it was a kind of a group decision. We both liked it.
It was Gore, the last name.
Gore. Yeah, I just wanted to know, like, I know like when people hear my kids' names, they're never going to say, oh, those are bad names. But usually I get, oh, that's a cool name. London's a cool name. Judah's a cool name. Houston's a cool name. Houston's a junior without having any of my names.
I like Houston better than Dallas.
I would not have named him Dallas.
Austin's a cool name.
Houston's his name because that's where I was born.
Okay.
And Jericho, Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. Yeah. And Moses, because my grandmother didn't know, couldn't remember or say Josh when I was younger. So she goes, it's that guy that was always with Moses. I'm just going to call him Moses. So,
oh, my goodness.
That's literally, so as a young age, I was called Moses by my grandmother. And so all his names have to do with me.
So I think the names are kids.
That's such a grandparent thing to do. I'm not going to memorize that. You're Moses now.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think the names your kids ended up with are the most appropriate and fitting given the circumstances and backgrounds of the names versus just the, if he's a poet, Tennessee would be pretty cool.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, if for some weird reason we have another kid and it comes out a boy, Tennessee's going to be the
name.
Dude,
if it's a girl, you can name her Tennessee too.
Yeah.
Then guys can go Sweetwater. Up and be like, you're the only 10 I see.
I don't want dudes to call her Sweetie.
They're going to call her,
I know.
They're going to say you're the only 10 I see. That's going to happen immediately.
I like the name Kennedy for a girl.
Yeah, that's a good name for a girl. Kennedy. I think that's a good name for a girl.
Yeah. So,
Kennedy Monroe, like
I do like Monroe. We literally said I said if there was a girl like we like Isabella. We like, this is Monroe, becoming a very funny lifting episode. The end of this, talking about kids' name. I always think about the joke, the Mitch Hedberg joke. He goes, I guess if I had a kid, I'd buy a baby naming book. Or invite someone over that had a cast on.
I think that's so good.
Thanks for listening, guys. Hopefully you guys really dug the interviews with Brandon Hughes on the last episode with Brandon Hughes and... yes. You can turn that up a little bit. I'm not getting anything of that. There it is. really cool, insightful things in the Spotify saga. And... let us know what you think. Hey, we have some cool stuff coming up with free shows in Denton, the Honey Gold Presents. We're playing with some names. Me and Caitlin were talking about Buzz at the Bearded Monk as the name of the showcase series there.
I think Honey Gold Presents is better.
Well, Honey Gold Presents Buzz at the Bearded Monk is what we were thinking of. Just to go with the buzz that I'm doing.
What happens if we're not at the Bearded Monk?
Then we buzz at the whatever we're at.
Okay, y'all just want to use buzz because bees in Honey Gold, right?
Yeah.
Got it.
Buzz, buzz.
And I do Buzz at the Berg in Southern Illinois.
Gotcha.
And that's a Honey Gold thing.
I'm about to stop playing, so it's here in a second, this cool outro with the music is about to be.
Thank you, guys. Cool. Josh at honeygoldrecords.com. Go listen to Gathering My Thoughts. There's some new episodes up there. Producer dudes, what's going on with that? We good?
Yeah.
Okay, go check that out. Movie Brothers, we're about to do a lot of cool episodes, especially Avengers Endgame, which I want to get a bunch of people on. And long live the Brotherhood.
Long live the high.
Kind of went. I kind of like that.